According to Daniel chapter 11, you've got the king of the south. This, I think, is the Muslim world. You've got this huge Eastern Oriental army that marches over to the Euphrates. You've got the Western Confederacy out of which the Antichrist has arisen. But they are in concert on one thing. Number one item on the agenda, we're going to solve the Jewish problem. But they have not taken into account our God.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah. This is The Messianic Voice, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's join Marty Zeid here on The Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Messianic Voice program, which is coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri. Well, we're getting ready to finish up a series of messages by Dr. David Larson, who for many years was professor of preaching at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, as well as a pastor for over 30 years. He's written several books, an excellent, excellent communicator. If you've been with us for any of the programs, you already know that. Well, I would ask you, if you would, go ahead and get a piece of paper and a pencil, because at the end of the program, I'm going to tell you our address, give you the information that you would need to be able to obtain all of the messages that Dr. David Larson gave. He was a guest speaker for the Midwest Messianic Center, and he spoke to us on the past, present, and future of Israel. One of the things that has blessed me through these messages is just to see the sovereignty of God, how his hand was there maneuvering all of the different parts of the puzzle, as it were, that were necessary for the formation of the state of Israel, and some of the things that Israel has gone through and some of the things that they are going through. And then, as we're seeing even in this last message, some of the things that they will be going through in the future. We know they're certain because they're from the scriptures, for they're from the Word of God. So I hope that if you've been with us, you've enjoyed these messages. If this is the very first one that you're hearing, I know that you're going to be blessed and you'll want to order these messages at the end of the program. So for now, join me as we listen to the concluding message from Dr. David Larson.
The world is in such a jam. Is any leadership able to handle the complex problems of spaceship Earth? We've got economic problems, ecological problems, moral problems, legal problems. We've got, oh my word. And out on the stage of human history strides Satan's masterpiece, the man of sin. See, the sin of man is going to climax in the man of sin. This is Satan's great facsimile of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Antichrist. And he's going to stride out on the stage of human history, and he's got charisma. Listen, he wows them. And humanity is on the ropes, just absolutely overwhelmed and overpowered by problems. And he says, look, you give me your autonomy. You surrender your national autonomies, and I will solve these problems. And he basically succeeds. The first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th 7. I'm in Daniel 9, 24 to 27. The first 3.5 years, men say peace and safety. I mean, this is Satan's facsimile of the millennium. He's amazing. And I believe at that time, he is successful basically in persuading the Jews to do what no one will persuade them to do until then, internationalize the city of Jerusalem. He's got enough pressure. I just think Jerusalem is an insoluble problem. It's that cup of trembling. Everybody cuts him or herself who tries to handle it. Zechariah chapter 12. Irresistible force meeting immovable object. Do you think we're going to solve Jerusalem? Oh, my word. That is tough. That is tough. But the Antichrist, with the temple rebuilt, the Jews, you know, fascinating subject all by itself, take another hour, too late. But there's that temple, and at last, they're encouraged by this, but the Antichrist persuades them to come in, and he makes a covenant with them. He makes a treaty with them. The whole world homogenizes around the world ruler. Revelation 13, the whole world worships the beast. And if you don't take his mark, 666, think what modern technology makes possible in terms of the literal fulfillment of so many of these prophecies. If you don't take the mark of the beast, 666, you can't buy or sell. I mean, he's got it all wrapped up. This is George Orwell's 1984. It's Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. I mean, this is the one world. And everybody just go, bah, 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 bah. Wow, wow, the Antichrist. This is great. And everybody is just so absolutely ecstatic over what's happening. But there's one fly in the ointment. You know, with the church gone, who's God's witness? God is never without his witness. Revelation 11. And there you've got the two witnesses. They're not named. Who are they? I'm basically agnostic. They could be Moses and Elijah, could be Enoch and Elijah, something along that line. But, you know, we can't say. But there are two witnesses who are mentioned here in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. And these two witnesses are supernaturally endued and endowed and given a ministry of 3.5 years, concurrent with this consolidation of the power of the beast who comes out of the sea. You know, this is the little horn of Daniel 7. This is the Antichrist, the man of sin. For 3.5 years, they are prophesying, they are preaching. Can't you see CNN picking this up? You know, these two rough-hewn prophets, you know, holding forth. And I mean, they are noticed. Well, now a very interesting thing, verse 7 of Revelation 11. Now when they have finished their testimony, listen, we're all immortal till our work is done. Long as God has work for us to do, he's going to keep us here. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them. This Antichrist, the beast from the Abyssos, he is unfettered, and he is allowed to kill them. Until that time, he can't touch them. There's a hedge about him. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Obviously, Jerusalem. Their bodies are exposed. This is such a triumph, such a moment of victory and elation for the Antichrist and his cohorts, that these bodies are publicly displayed. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. This is just a hallelujah time for the enemies of God. We got these two. What a pain in the neck they've been for 3.5 years. Always disturbing, these Socratic gadflies biting us. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate. We're going to have Christmas in July or whenever it is. Celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. Just think, the emissaries of God are viewed as tormentors. Those who bear witness to the truth were the enemies. What a switch. What a convolution of reason. Isn't this a fascinating thing? Now, I have to call your attention just in passing. This word, gaze on their bodies, simple Greek word blepo, I mean to look at. There was a Bible commentator in the last century. His name was Robert Govett, G-O-V-E-T-T. He wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation. This is dated, I think, about 1870, okay? He's writing on this passage. He said, well, this is certainly strange. How is it that humanity can look at two bodies laid out on the streets of the city of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. I mean, anybody knows this earth is a sphere. How can humanity view a phenomenon on the other side of the globe, for instance? Robert Govett, now 1870, someone is going to have to make an invention, some kind of a box into which you can look and see events on the other side of the globe. Well, now, hallelujah, the devil's defeated. I mean, really, with modern Telstar communication system, I mean, we're so immediately and instantaneously aware of events on the other side or anywhere on this planet. I say technologically, things are shaping up. I mean, you know, the know-all and wherewithal to make literal, actual fulfillment of Bible prophecy possible, those things are coming into place in a manner never before experienced on this planet. So for 3.5 days, these bodies are viewed, and I mean, I can just hear Peter Jennings or the other guy, whoever, you know, talking. Well, there they are, those two, you know. And there is such scorn, such withering scorn and cynicism. Now, but after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them. Oh, the breath of life from God. We're back in Ezekiel 37 almost, aren't we? I mean, that breath of life from God. And they stood on their feet. Listen, CNN is right there. I mean, can you visualize this? All of a sudden, these two corpses stand up. Oh my, a breath of life from God enters them. They stand on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. They're translated. My. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. What's this? When will the Jews be saved? Now, there are those. I have wonderful friends who tell, well, it'll be at the very end of the 7 years. When he comes in glory, that's when they'll be saved. I don't think so. I think they're going to be saved right here. 144,000, the vanguard of God's ancient covenant people, are going to have their eyes opened in response to this preaching when these two bodies go up into heaven and there's a great earthquake. They are scared, spitless. They're terrified. And they give glory to God. Another evidence for this turning to Messiah, so that the last 3.5 years, these saved Jews are the evangelists who minister and see a great unnumbered multitude of Gentiles from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue come to Christ. In the heat of Jacob's trouble, in the great anguish and suffering that will take place when the Antichrist is just infuriated beyond words. I'm back to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you remember? In the middle of the 70th seven, the Antichrist breaks his covenant. Why? Why is there this abrupt lesion between Israel in the land and the Antichrist, the world ruler? Well, it has to do with his wanting to set up the abomination of desolation in their temple. And I think, given the emptiness of the inner chamber, the Holy of Holies, the Sanctum Sanctorum, I think he may well want to set that right up in the Holy of Holies. And these Jews, they say, look, we've gone along with you in a lot. We've internationalized Jerusalem. We have tried to be part of what you are developing. We feel we've gone the 10th mile. But look, no image is going up in our temple. And why do they say it? They have been converted. They're not going to go along. They say nine, niet. In all the languages that you can say no in, they say no in. Can you imagine a group better suited to become evangelists to the world, bearing witness to the nations? They don't need language training. These Jews in Eretz Israel, they come from all the nations of the earth. They've already had their language training. These Jews speak all the languages of the earth. They even speak Baluchistanic, because there have been Jews in Baluchistan. Absolutely. And you know there are troves of scripture portions and commentaries in the land of Israel. You know that that's already. I mean, listen, when they begin to study the New Testament, do they ever study the New Testament? And I tell you, they're looking for commentaries. They're looking for helps. And I mean, they're not going to write to Zondervan. I mean, they want it now. And listen, this is why I put these pieces together. I don't want to dogmatize to the point. I mean, this is not an issue over which we break up the furniture. I'm just giving you my opinion. That the point at which they're converted is midpoint. And that's why, according to Revelation 12, the next chapter, you remember how when Satan is cast out of heaven from any access at all to the outer vestibule of heaven for the accusing of the saints, which he has loved to do, but he's cast out in the midpoint of the tribulation period at the 3.5-year point, and he comes down to earth, and what does he do? He makes war with the woman who bore the man-child. And that woman is not the Roman Catholic Church, the Virgin Mary. That woman is not Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy, the founder of Christian Science. That woman is Israel. Who gave birth to the man-child? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's Israel. And he is determined to... Oh, wait a minute. The Antichrist says, look, this is the last straw. I've got this whole thing going right. And now you people take the part of those two prophets. I can't stand you. Hitler made a mistake. He should have just succeeded in doing away with all of you. And I'm going to take care of what Hitler didn't do. And the wrath. And this is why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And there is a vicious outbreak of worldwide anti-Semitism. And I mean, the world police force is going to converge. I will gather the nations together. Book of Joel, book of Zechariah. I tell you, the Antichrist, he's riding high. He thinks he's going to pull it off. But I'll tell you, he is fighting against God. And according to Daniel chapter 11, you've got the king of the south. This, I think, is the Muslim world. You've got this huge Eastern Oriental army that marches over to the Euphrates, which is dried up. You've got the Western Confederacy out of which the Antichrist has arisen. But they are in concert on one thing. Number one item on the agenda, we're going to solve the Jewish problem. But they have not taken into account our God. Because the Lord Jesus descends to the Mount of Olives and there is a great earthquake, and I'm going to tell you, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. But in all of this anguish and in this suffering and in this deprivation, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they're going to preach repentance and faith, and there is going to be response. I mean, the purpose of God in all ages is salvation, and he's got his emissaries. In this age, he's got us, the church, and that's what our business is to be. And in the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, he's got the two witnesses. And in the last 3.5 years, he's got the 144,000 and those Jews who are further and later converted. I take the 144,000 to be the vanguard, 12,000 from each tribe. I mean, those are Jews. I know the Seventh-day Adventists think they're the 144,000. I know that Jehovah's Witnesses have this elite of the elect idea that, you know, if you sell enough magazines and knock on enough doors, you will be among the 144,000. But most witnesses have given up any hope of being among the 144,000. Isn't that pitiful? By the way, that's not a bad subject to engage them on. The best thing to do with a Jehovah's Witness is ask them, have you been born again? Unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. You're talking about the kingdom. You've got a kingdom hall, my dear friend. Really, have you been born again? Well, there are a few who are born again, but you see, those are the 144,000. But unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Don't get started with them on who Jesus is, you know, out of John 1:1. They'll just read like off a record, you know, out of their New World Bible, but get them on, have you been born again? I'll tell you, that's consternating to them. That's spifflicating to them. I made up that last word, but I thought it sounded like a good word. It's not in the dictionary, so don't look it up. So these Jews are going to come to Christ, and a great number of Gentiles are going to be saved. Isn't that marvelous? From every nation, kindred, and tongue. So you see, I think Israel has a great future. And Jews who are being saved today, it just thrills me. I have to say this. I hope no one's offended. But there is something about a saved Jew that just thrills me to my toenails. A man like Marty Zeid. I mean, it is so thrilling to me. These kinsmen of Christ after the flesh are now his sons. And it's so thrilling to me. Do you know what I'm saying? And to think that so many Jews are going to be saved. And God is just going to say to the whole universe, see, my mercy, my grace, my wisdom, I have not been confused. This has all been part of the plan. And we glorify him. And then the millennium. Won't that be fun? 1,000 years here on earth. And then forever. And ever, and ever, God's forever family, serving him, glorifying him, worshiping him, praising him. It won't be the resumption of life, you know, in the resurrection as we have known it. I mean, it's not just, you know, the same then as now. But we're certainly going to know each other. We're going to recognize, you don't think we're going to be more stupid then than we are now, do you? No way. I mean, you know, it's like when I go back to an old neighborhood where I was raised, you know, and I see this guy. I mean, this is a long time ago. I said, that is little Scotty Christ. He still lives there. Well, he certainly is nothing like. But, I mean, I recognize him. We're not going to need name tags. You know, I'm not going to need Martin Luther. I'm not going to need Charles Spurgeon. Now, who are you? Oh, you're Peter. Oh, I beg your pardon. You know, that's not going to happen. We're going to know one another. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, praise be to God.
You've been listening to the Messianic Voice program and our guest speaker, Dr. David Larson. Well, I've said it on many occasions, there's nothing like the prophetic scriptures to inspire hope and joy and encouragement in one's heart. And I hope that's been the case for you. Well, I told you at the beginning of the program, if you would get a piece of paper and a pencil, I'll give you our address. And the reason being is I would assume that there are many of you out there that would like to have a set of these messages by our guest speaker. And we have them on two different formats, CDs or cassette tapes. Send us a donation of $15 and we'll send you either one. Just specify which one you prefer. Simply write MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Again, that's MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. And again, thank you for tuning in, and may God bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.